Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lit Publishing's podcast, Lit Radio. My name is Mira, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is the author of Marketing, the Heart and the Brain of Branding, and founder and CEO of Topline Marketing, Javier Sanchez-Lamelas. How are you today, Javier?
I'm very well, Mira. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and thanks so much for joining us here in the studio. We're very happy to have you. Javier is also the former VP of Marketing for the Coca-Cola Company, and today he's here to discuss the creativity versus technology debate, which is quite a hot topic. So without further ado, let's just get straight into it, Javier. And my first question is that advertising is experiencing a big shift right now through the digitalization of work and emerging technologies. How does this affect the importance of creativity?
Quite big and in the opposite direction that many people think. There is a tendency today, which, you know, I think we can all understand why it's happening, but it's a tendency of taking money from creativity and allocating that money into technology. I mean, everybody is trying to catch the wave of technology. The problem with thinking is that technology, by definition, is just an amplifier of media. The analogy, it is a loudspeaker for creativity. So the moment you remove resources from creativity, basically what you are amplifying is crap. And that is a very dangerous thing to do. Now, I know that resources are limited, but if I can give a recipe to the listeners of this podcast, I will tell them, I'm going to probably use Trump words. creativity first.
Right.
And technology second. And you shouldn't do that the other way around. But I can elaborate more on why that happened. But go ahead.
Yeah, and actually that leads me perfectly into my next question. And that is, so why is this trend of technology actually the primary focus? Why is it pushing creativity to the side?
It's not pushing creativity to the side by definition. It's just that we marketeers, I mean, human beings have limited resources and we are just juggling a few balls in the air. And catching the wave of technology is important because if your loudspeaker is smaller than the neighbor loudspeaker, I mean, your music, even though maybe a good one, it will be very hard to listen to. And people are investing money into having more watts into the music equipment. But as I said, I mean, the first thing you need to do is to have a good song. And once you have a good song, you can amplify it. It's a very dangerous game to try to convince people to buy your brand or your product, but just making the music louder. It doesn't work that way. I mean, and now it's a temptation, but unfortunately for many marketeers, today's consumers only watch what they want to watch. I mean, the times in which budgets can buy audiences are long gone, and they're not gonna come back. Consumers, as I said, they just listen what they want to listen, and it's not necessarily a question of budgets. It's a different ballgame.
Right. And going forward, so what should brands be focusing on if they try to take their creativity at the top of their priorities?
Okay, the first thing a brand should do is to understand what they are all about. I mean, what is the basic promise that the brand should stand behind? A brand is nothing else and nothing more than a promise kept by the owner of the brand. And then what you need to do is to fill the brand with meaning. Meaning, what I mean by that is feelings, emotions, stories, values that increase the value of the product that you are selling. I mean, you don't need to change the product. It's just making sure that people understand what the brand is after. And then what you need to do is craft beautiful stories and make sure that you share that with your audience, with people. So And it goes in that order. I mean, there is no way you can reverse the order, because if you reverse the order, you are going to end up with a mess. It's not about crafting beautiful stories without understanding the essence of the brand. And it's not about amplifying stories that they don't have the meaning of the brand behind. So there is a sequel, there is a process that people have to follow, which, you know, there are very few shortcuts, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, actually going further on that subject, can you perhaps give us a few examples of brands that have done really well with what you've just explained?
Yeah, there are many. And I'm sure that many of you have a few brands in their mind. I don't want to touch the typical examples like, you know, Apple or Nike or Coke.
Yes.
And all those big brands. But there are beautiful brands out there that are they're just gorgeous. I mean, I don't know if you guys know Stacy's, for instance. I mean, it's probably not a European product. It's an American product. Those guys started in a small restaurant selling pita chips, and they were just giving them away.
Wow.
The leftovers of the pita cakes that they were doing, and they realized that those pita chips were selling like hotcakes. So they put it in a bag and start commercializing them. It was an instant success. Now, what is that they did fantastic from a brand point of view? What they did is just they kept the essence of their business, and all the story that I'm just telling you is written in the back of the pack. It's a beautiful family entrepreneurial, keeping the taste, keeping natural things forward, keeping the spirit of a product, and then selling it in a massive way. Bingo, great brand. There are many brands that they do a much subtle way of marketing as we know it today. I mean, people tend to believe that you can only do marketing if you tell stories through advertising or TV. Well, that is not true. I mean, look at Zara, the department stores. Fascinating story as well. I mean, that brand was originated in a tiny village in the north of Spain. The owner started with a very small store asking people what is that they wanted for their clothes. And they still kept that philosophy. The way they do it is by just asking people, you know, every time they go to the store, how they feel. I mean, what is the how they like the clothing, and they pass the feedback back, and they are able to connect to millions of people around the world, but just having the experience at the store level, which is as far as I know, unbeatable versus other department stores. So again, another beautiful way of doing marketing, which, I mean, you probably don't know the story, but if you go to a Zara store, you can feel the difference of what I'm talking about. Beautiful marketing.
Right, right. And going back to on the topic of creativity and technology, should they perhaps be trying to complement each other and should not be seen as a threat and not as competitors?
That's exactly the point. They're not competitors by any means. And they're absolutely complementary. The major comment or the major point or the major argument that I'm trying to make is that, if any, they go in sequence. And technology without creativity is not marketing, it's something else. So it is what it is.
Okay, and it would be good to talk a bit about the ADC Congress and what you'll be covering there as you'll be a part of it. So would you mind telling us a bit about your venture there?
Yeah, that is going to be in May in Hamburg. I was just invited a few weeks ago to talk about the topic of creativity and technology. What I was likely will be doing, I'm still crafting the story, but what I will most likely be talking about is the evolution by which marketing moved for being controlled by media channels to the point in which is today, in which consumers, as I explained earlier, only watch the marketing that they want to see. I know it sounds a little bit extreme, but is probably the biggest change in the industry. And people, a lot of marketers do not realize about how deep the consequences of that change are for marketers. I mean, basically a few years ago, if you have enough big budget, enough fat budget, you can basically make the people at the other side of the screen to swallow all sort of crap. Today, it doesn't happen. I mean, today, people only watch what they want to see, and therefore the bar for marketing has gone up dramatically. And we're going to see that trend going up in an exponential way, meaning the trend in which creativity keeps going up and up and up. And it's going to be self-evident. It's going to be painful for many people because a lot of marketers that were doing a mediocre work a few years ago, they will not have a job in the future. I mean, the only question you may want to ask in an interview is, well, how many clicks your job had in YouTube? And then if your number is small, then you know what is the creativity level of that person and what is the empathy that he or she can create with consumers. That question was absolutely impossible 10 years ago, but now is there. In fact, good marketing in many senses can almost travel free.
Okay, and that's a very interesting subject that you touched upon there. And other industries which are obviously a bit different, such as advertising, have absolutely seen the effect of what you just mentioned about the fact that it's just times of change. Consumers will only absorb what they want to absorb. Do you think that there is a factor in all this, which is the dominant reason for why this is happening? Could it be the rise of social media? Could it be changing consumer behavior, perhaps? Or
no, it's not consumer behavior. It's just technology. In the past, the marketing model in the past was called interruption, and basically the way it works. Everybody knows how it works, but I'm just going to explain that to make sure that we have the same common ground. Basically, people like to watch movies and sports and live shows, etc. So what broadcasters learned to do was cut that into pieces and sell the spaces in between to media agencies for them to sell that to the advertisers that happily paid to get the audience watching their advertising, their marketing. As technology evolved, the producers of soap operas and live shows learned that it was more profitable for them, for the ones that craft that new model, to provide them a full view of the entire shop without interruption. For instance, Netflix.
Yes.
With a subscription model, or other channels by which, you know, people can easily access without necessarily having only one or two channels in the old television way of watching things. In that model, interruption is gone with the wind. It doesn't work. If you are in a subscription mode or watching something that you like to see, and even if it is for free and you get interrupted, you either switch off and change channel or find a way through TiVo technology or whatever, you name it, to skip advertising.
We usually make a cup of tea around here. You know, we get up and we put the kettle on. So,
yeah,
it's absolutely right what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so the immediate consequence of the interruption model fading away is that you need to make your marketing interesting enough for people to watch it, right? Which is a huge jump. I mean, from you having a budget for people to pay to, hey, my marketing is so bloody good that you're going to sit down in the couch and enjoying it, is a massive quantum leap in terms of creativity. goes back to the question that you asked at the very beginning, why creativity is so important. It's just precisely because of that. Because yes. unless your creativity is good enough and your storytelling is brilliant and fantastic, people will not be watching you. I'm exaggerating to make the point because it's still both systems, the system of interruption and the system of, if you want, non-interruption. I need to find a name for that, by the way. still work together. Still both alive. But the future is going to be non-interruption. That's for sure. And I was just explaining a little bit earlier that's the way a technology is pushing the boundaries. The industry learned that by giving control to the spectator, they get an edge, right? Same thing happened with music a few years ago. Record companies had the control, now control is in people.
Yes, absolutely. No doubt. And actually, there is one last question I want to ask you that popped in my mind. And this is, it's more of a case study of a particular beast, which it's actually following very traditional rules. Because I was thinking about what you were saying, and what came to mind was the Super Bowl. And that seems to be the one event, especially in the US, which is very traditional,
yes.
where marketing and advertising space is sold for ridiculous amounts of money, yes. you know, for just a few seconds.
Yes.
And it seems to still be effective by up until a certain point.
Yes.
Why do you think that one particular event
yes.
keeps so much power? Is yes. it a cultural thing? Or?
No, because it's not advertising and it's not interruption. Super Bowl is a show for advertisers to showcase their work. And it has absolutely nothing to do with creating an audience and advertising your product. I mean, of course it does, but that is the excuse. I mean, it's similar to the Cannes Advertising Award or the Oscars ceremony. It is the American equivalent of the Cannes Festival for advertising in Europe. How does it work? But it's very simple. A marketing director wants to showcase their work and show the how capable his or her team are. Advertising agencies do exact same thing, and they produce beautifully crafted with humor, blah blah blah, and they compete for being the number one in the Super Bowl. I mean, in advertising, I mean, you know that there is a few rankings for creativity, but it's not television. It's not marketing, although it does have marketing effect, of course. I mean, upon the rankings, people start sharing it, and it creates a buzz, blah blah blah. I don't think the cost per thousand, meaning from a pure return on investment point of view, offset that. Now, a few marketing directors around the world still believe that, you know, television will save their marketing plans. And I hear a few saying, well, you know, I'm investing in television because it still works. And that's a very poor thinking. That is probably the saddest way of admitting defeat publicly. The role of a marketing director is prepare also the organization for the future and make sure that they understand the new media and the new technology. Super Bowl is not advertising in TV, something else.
On that revelation, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today, Javier. And of course, if you would like to find more about Javier, his work at Topline, and more about marketing, all relevant links will be in the description below, alongside a link so you can find out more about Javier's speaking engagement and what he's up to. And I would like to thank you very much for joining us today on Lid Radio, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.